Amen. Thank you, Sister Bandy. Beautiful song and very appropriate for this time in our lives. We're all going through this storm, but we'll make it together by the help of the Lord. And He's able to hold us fast and keep us safe till the storm passes by. I want to invite your attention to several verses of Scripture. I'm going to read a little bit more than I normally do, because I feel like it's the Lord's will for me to do so. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to begin at verse 5, and I want to read down through verse 16. And the Scripture reads like this: "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now, I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word today, and that it'll be for our good and for His honor and glory. I want to use as my subject title for today, the knowledge of heartfelt salvation. The knowledge of heartfelt salvation. I know there are a lot of people in the world today, and they say you can't trust your feelings, and you just take what the Word of God, the written Word of God, has said, and just depend on that. But I believe the Bible teaches that there is a feeling to salvation, and that feeling is real. And so today I want to try to talk about that, to understand what it means to have the knowledge of heartfelt salvation. I think we have to first of all understand that man is a twofold being. All of us, we are spirit beings, and we live in a body of flesh. And the Bible teaches that in many, many different places. Many scriptures refer to the body, and then to the soul, to the spirit of man. And the Bible tells us when God created man, and I believe He did. I believe God created man. I reject the idea that man descended from a lower form of life. And anything, you know, that science comes up with that don't agree with the Bible, I don't agree with it, you know. because I believe the Bible is the Word of God, the true Word of God. And I believe it's dependable. It hasn't been disproved, and it won't be disproved, because the Bible says that the Word is forever settled in heaven. And God, He said, I'm God and I change not. So God's Word has never changed, and it never will. But anyway, many scriptures throughout the Bible teach that man is a twofold being. Now, I read this passage of scripture today because in verse 16, I want you to notice what it says. He said, we may be troubled, and distressed and persecuted, and we have all these things. But he said, we faint not. And though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, we know when God created man that he made his body out of dust. And it was just a pile of dust until God breathed the spirit of life into that body. And so we are all spirit beings, and we live in a body of flesh and bones. And the outward man and the inward man. And the heart, that pumps the blood through our bodies, that's a part of the outward man. But man also has a heart that is the center of his spiritual being. And the Bible teaches that. And I wanted you to notice verse 6 that I read in your hearing. It says, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That was in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so the same God that commanded light to dispel the darkness of the universe hath shined in our hearts. The purpose of that is to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Now, I want you to understand what it says. It said that light shined into our hearts. And the purpose of it was to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then the Apostle Paul said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You see, the earthen vessels are our bodies that were originally made from the dust of the earth. And so the heart of man that God shines his light into, is different from the vessel of the earthen vessel that we live in. So man is a twofold being. I could spend probably a lot of time talking about that, but I hope you understand that. It's important to understand that man is a twofold being. Now, when death comes, the Bible says that the body without the spirit is death. So death is a separation of the soul and the spirit, which teaches again the twofold being of man. When the body dies, the spirit continues to live. And the Bible actually says in the book of Ecclesiastes that the body goes back to the earth, but the spirit goes back to God who gave it. So there is the twofold man. We further see that in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, where the Bible tells us that we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, that's having reference to the body, be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul goes on in that fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, and he talks about as long as we are in the body, we're absent from the Lord. We know where Jesus is. He rose from the dead, and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And we're not there with him now. We're still here in this world, you see. And as long as we're in the body, we're not with the Lord. But he said, we are willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So here again, we can see the twofold being of man. And, when the soul leaves the body, it goes to be with the Lord. Now, I said a while ago that modern-day religion, for the most part, you know, says don't trust your feelings. But I'm saying that when God speaks to your heart, and when God forgives you of your sins, and you get peace with God, that it's impossible to know that it didn't happen. There is a feeling, you know. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 27, he said, seek the Lord and feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. So we can seek the Lord and we can feel after him. Now I want to give you a definition of the heart. I took this from the dictionary, but the Bible backs this up completely. The dictionary said that the heart is regarded as the center of a person's thoughts and emotions, such as love, compassion, sorrow, joy, hatred, remorse. All of these emotions, they come from the heart of man. And, you know, we can feel all of these emotions. And to deny that you can feel them, I think, is to deny the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So the heart is separate from the body. And the heart has feelings. The senses that we have, they are a part of the heart. You know, the issues of life, they come from the heart. Jesus taught this as well. In the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, he said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So everything that we think and everything that we do, everything that we say, it originates in the heart, in the inner man, spiritual man. That's where it originates. And of course it is manifested then through the outward man. Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, Jeremiah gives us, some light on this. The 17th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, verse 9, he said that the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. So the heart of man, the center of all of our activities and everything is basically deceitful and is evil. We are born into this world and we, from our mother's womb, the Bible says that we begin to speak lies. So the world says that you're basically good, but the Bible says that you're basically evil. And we have to be converted. We must be born again. We must be changed. And the way that God brings that change about, through the Holy Spirit, He deals with our hearts. He deals with our hearts. This lesson that I read in here, in your hearing, said that God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. God has a means to an end. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that simply means that it is the power of God unto salvation for all men everywhere, regardless of where you are, who you are, what you've been taught. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation because it furnishes the information that one must have in order to be saved. The Bible said, how can they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And so God, he calls men to preach the gospel. And the gospel and the preaching of God's word, the Bible said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So God has a means. He has the information in the gospel. And he has the spokesman in the preachers and in the church of the Lord Jesus. Now, I don't mean to imply that preachers are the only one that can share the gospel. I don't believe that. I believe that everybody has been saved can tell somebody else about how they got saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, the gospel is preached, and the Holy Spirit uses the gospel to reach the hearts of men. The Holy Spirit reproves, and by reproving, that means the Holy Spirit gets your attention and lets you know that you're not right with God, that you need salvation. When the Holy Spirit brings conviction to the hearts of men, that conviction is felt. I'm talking about heartfelt salvation. That conviction is felt. You can feel the condemnation of sin. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, he said that he is not under condemnation. He that believeth not is condemned already. He that believeth is not condemned. That's the way that scripture goes. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. How do you know you're condemned? Well, you know because the Holy Spirit reveals it to your heart. And you can feel that condemnation. You can know that you're not right with God. You can know that you're separated from him and that you need salvation. And so that conviction, causes sorrow, you know. It causes, the Bible says this in Psalms chapter 34, I believe verse 18, if I'm not mistaken. It says that God is near unto them that be of a broken heart, and he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So when the gospel reaches your heart, and that the Holy Spirit makes that condemnation real, and you can feel that condemnation, and you can know that you're not right with God. And when you begin to call upon God, you know, I mentioned Acts chapter 17, verse 27 a moment ago, where Paul said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Well, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6 says this. I said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So the process is the preaching of the gospel and the drawing of the Holy Spirit repentance of sin. You know, the Bible said, Jesus said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish because we are born sinners and we're not right in the sight of God. And we must be born again. There must be a change in our hearts and in our lives. Now, if the heart is not changed, there will be no change in our lives, you see. But God, he changes the heart. We read in the Bible where he said that under the terms of the covenant of grace, he said, I will give them a new heart, and I will put my spirit in them, and I will write my laws in their hearts, and they will walk in my ways. You know, real, genuine salvation produces a new creature. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So the Lord causes us to feel the need of salvation, to feel the need to call on the Lord. And the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that don't mean whoever says words, but whoever from their heart calls upon the Lord, feeling their need of God and their need to be saved. And they ask for forgiveness, confess their sins and ask for forgiveness and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be saved. Now, that's what the Bible teaches. Now, I'm going to just speak to you just a few minutes longer. When God forgives our sins, you know what? The enmity that is between us and God is removed. We are no longer, the enemies of God. We become children of God. We are His because He has purchased us, redeemed us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are His. And the pains of David expressed this in his experience, or writer of the 116th division of the Psalm. He said, I love the Lord. That's one of the things that happens when you get saved. God takes away the burden of sin, the condemnation, the guilt that you feel, and He sheds His love abroad in your heart. And then you can say, I love the Lord, because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. The psalmist said, the pains of hell got hold upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow. The trouble and sorrow are emotions that you feel. Pains of hell are the emotions of fear of dying and going to hell. He said, I found those emotions. I could feel them. And he said, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. He said, the Lord is gracious, yea, our God is merciful. I was brought low, and He helped me. He said, return unto thy soul, unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. There is a real experience in salvation. You know you're saved because you experience being saved. You don't know you're saved because somebody told you that you're saved, or because somebody told you to repeat after me, this prayer. You know you're saved because the Lord deals with your heart. He removes the guilt and the pain and the sorrow of being separated from God, of being lost, and of being exposed to the wrath of God. And He removes all those feelings of fear, and He replaces it with peace. The Bible said in Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And Peter describes that peace as being peace that passeth all understanding. You can't explain it, but you sure can feel it. And when your sins are forgiven, you're free. Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, then shall you be free indeed. And so we are delivered from our sins, from the guilt of sin, from the punishment of sin, and we are made children of God, and we know that we're children of God. It's not, I hope I'll be all right when I come down to die. We know, and this is what the Bible said. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God itself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Now, folks, that's a no-so, heartfelt salvation. And that's the kind of salvation that the Lord Jesus provides for us. And I'm wondering today, you know, if you're listening to me and you feel the guilt of sin and the condemnation of sin, and you've never been saved, and maybe you have, you know, joined a church somewhere. Maybe you've been baptized, but you've never experienced God dealing with your heart, bringing you under conviction that you knew about, and you called on God, and God forgave your sins, put His love in your heart, and put His Holy Spirit in your heart that lets you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have been saved and that you've passed from death unto life. Perhaps this would be a good time for you to do that. You know, wherever you are, if you're in your home, you know, in your car, wherever you are, you know, the Lord is listening today. He would love to save you and deliver you from that burden of sin and set you free and give you the peace that passeth all understanding. And there's joy in salvation too. You know, it's not a terrible thing to get saved. It's a wonderful thing to get saved. The devil will have people believe, you know, well, if you get saved, you won't ever enjoy anything else, you know. You'll just have to go to church and read the Bible and, you know, it'll just be awful, you know. That's what the devil wants you to believe. But I'm telling you that the Apostle Peter said this, having reference to the Lord Jesus, whom having we not seen, we love, in whom, though now we see Him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now there is joy in being a child of God. And I pray Brother Ernie's going to lead us in a song. And this song asks a serious question. I want you to listen to it. This song asks the question, is it well with your soul?